resurrection secures our righteousness. We're going to talk about the importance of the resurrection of Jesus. No, it's not Easter. You didn't miss it. This is not March. We're still in September. But we can talk about the resurrection more than once a year, can't we? And I think it's so central to the gospel message that we know what the resurrection did. We always talk about the death of Jesus, which is, of course, vitally important. But without the resurrection of Jesus, the death wouldn't have mattered, would it? The resurrection is what secures our righteousness in Him. And we're going to go through, Paul was trying to teach this to the Corinthians because, you know, as we see today, there's many other gospels. Only one true gospel, but there's many other gospels that people are trying to promote. And there are certain denominations and sects of teaching that deny the resurrection. And, of course, we know that if we deny the resurrection, according to Paul, we'll read in a minute, the central point of this, we're still in our sin. And I thank God I'm not in my sin, but I'm in His righteousness. I thank God His blood was enough to cover me from all of my iniquities, all of my wickedness. I could not reach God apart from the blood. I could not touch God apart from the blood. My good works couldn't do it. My sacraments couldn't do it. My religion can't do it. My church can't do it. But Jesus did it. And in Him, I am secure forever because He died and He rose. So we're going to be, go to the next slide. Is it Hebrews first? Yes. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Then we're going to be over in 1 Corinthians. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Let that sink in just a minute. He tasted death for every man. You know what this means? That we don't ever have to die separated from God ever, because He took our place. Mankind, the price has been paid for human sin. Each person that's born into the world, that price has been paid already. Nothing else is going to happen. It's been paid. It's up to us to receive that payment on our behalf. To understand, Jesus, You died for me. See, there's been so much frustrating teaching through the years of self-righteousness, of works of man, of us having to jump hoops to please God, us having to do certain things to be righteous in His eyes. But that is not the case at all. The good news is this, that we are not righteous, but He is. The good news is this, that I can't get to heaven other than what Jesus did for me, and He paid the price that I could enter everlasting life. That's the good news. The good news is I'm still going to sin, but thank God He covered my sin on the cross. I'm still going to make mistakes, but He covered those mistakes because my righteousness is not hinged whatsoever to anything I can do. It's hinged to everything that Jesus has already done. That's where righteousness truly is. And we've been put in so much fear. Now, I'm not going to have a show of hands, but you can all raise your hands, most of us, that we've had a lot of fear pounding, that we were worried every day we're going to go to hell or not. Every day. We lay in bed at night, God, forgive me. Now, some of you religious folks ain't going to like you. Just get over it. It's all right. We lay in bed every night, God, forgive me of everything that I've done today. We try to list off our sins, or we're so worried that if we go to sleep, now this is a little different than what some of you heard. Listen to this. If we go to sleep and we don't confess our sins every night, we're worried what we're going to wake up at the next morning. That is not the gospel, church. The one sacrifice, the Bible says, was enough to cover our sins. If I still got to every night, Lord, I understand repentance. I know that when we do something wrong, we go to God. God, I'm sorry. Blah, blah. I understand that. But not unto salvation. That means I'm getting saved every night. Forgive me, God, of all my sins. Okay, you're saved. God, forgive me, you're saved. I mean, the one sacrifice was enough to cover everything we would ever commit. I'm not in heaven one day and hell the next day. I'm either found or I'm lost. I'm saved or I'm not. I'm in His love and light or I'm in darkness and damnation. I'm in one of the two. I can't keep crossing back and forth. I'm in hell. I'm in heaven. I'm in hell. I'm in heaven. I'm saved or I got to believe that He tasted death for me. No matter what I would do, understand, we think we're so self-righteous. Okay. Let's take somebody sweet and humble that nobody would ever suspect of being ugly. Let's take Melanie. So Melanie, Chris just said, whatever. Okay, Melanie is sweet and humble and graceful and just so tender like a little lamb. And she smiles and she's loving. I want to love you and hug you. I hope y'all love her, George. You know, she's just really loving. Okay. Then I lost my point. I got such ADD. Anyway, yes, 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 being humble and being ugly. Now, do we really think that no matter how sweet and humble and graceful Melanie is, that it's on her, that she it's on her own merit and her own humbleness and sweetness that gets her in? It's not. It's on what Jesus did for her. Jesus paid the price for her. And you know what? Melanie can go to bed every night knowing I am secure in Christ. He's my Lord. He's not basing my salvation on what I've done. He's basing my salvation on what Christ did on the cross. That's what true grace is. So there's a lot of teaching about you're saved by grace, but, and that point finger starts going out, but you better do this. Well, if I'm saved by grace, what do you mean I got to do that? You're saved by grace. Now, Jesus died for you, but you got to straighten out and you better walk that line. I'm going to be all in your ear. You better not look at that, say that, smell that, sniff that, touch that, do that, walk. You better not do nothing. What happens if I do? I don't know, but I don't have no responsibility for you no more. Really? What does that mean? We scare people with that. That's not good news. The good news of the gospel is continually what Jesus did. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Him that believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting. Doesn't end. Doesn't stop. It's not conditional. It's an unconditional grace and love through the blood of Jesus. If you want to stay in your old religious, I don't like this. I'm going to go somewhere there teaching. I'm going to tell you, God loves you that old nasty attitude right there. He loves you through it. Understand, we are taking credit and glory away from Jesus when we think we're doing something to stay in salvation. Why'd He come? Why'd He just leave it up to us to do our thing? You know, well, I feed the poor and I give my tithes and I go to church and I'm going to make sure I'll get in there. I'm a pretty good person. Why did He leave that up to each individual? He didn't, because none of us would see God. The Bible says there is no flesh justified. The deeds of flesh justified in His sight. No matter what we do, it's through Jesus. And this is what was so much, this is why the church was so persecuted in the beginning. Everybody thinks that the Acts church was persecuted because of all the spiritual things, because of the tongues, because of the miracles, because of the healing. That's not why they were persecuted. They were persecuted because they were teaching Jesus. You mean I ain't got, no, Jesus saved you. But I got to, you ain't got to wash your hands, Jesus saves you. Well, I got to fast. No, Jesus saved you. Well, I got to do that. No, Jesus saved you. They preached Jesus and Him alone. They didn't like that because it took power and control away from the religious leaders. I mean, think about this. Where would the Catholic Church be if they ever get a hold of this truth that you go to Jesus for confession? That'd be the door to close, wouldn't it? There wouldn't be no jobs for those fathers anymore. We don't go to a man and confess. A man has no power to restore you or forgive you. The power is in Jesus, the Lamb of God. That's our only Father. And the only one we should ever call Father is Him. That's where our salvation is at, alone in Him. He tasted death for every man. Now, I can see y'all aren't following along too good, so let's go to the next scripture. 1 Corinthians 15. You wouldn't think it would be so hard to get people to understand that Jesus is enough alone. We want to hang on to trying to do something. Because I know what some of y'all are thinking. I feel this. Now, Pastor, we're supposed to live right. Sure are. Supposed to do right. Sure are. Do you do right? Do you live right all the time? Well, not all the time. Well, are you saved when you're not living right, or are you lost? Amen. Amen. Church, if we're lost every time we do something wrong, then we haven't been saved. You think God's going to save us, and then when we mess up, lose us? Like an astronaut attached to a cable off the satellite thing where, oh, they're floating away, and God just let, no, God ain't going to let you go. He's got you. Understand, when he went to the cross, he knew everything bad, not that she does anything bad, everything bad Amanda would do. God knew that when he died for her. He knew the path she would choose, the mistakes she would make, all the things she would do wrong, even maybe resisting and rebelling against the truth of God. But yet, that blood is enough to seal her and to save her. He looked ahead in time and said, I've got a people I'm going to cover with my grace, and nothing can separate them from me. Not even their own works can separate them from my grace. Man, that's power. We understand what grace really is. I mean, we tell folks, just turn to Jesus. But then we try to get our middling, nosy ways in there and tell them how to live. They don't need your help in how to live. The Holy Spirit will teach them how to live. Just turn them on to Jesus and let Jesus do the rest. Just point them to Jesus. Just all you got to do is say, call on Jesus. He died for your sins. He'll change your life. When somebody really does that and they receive Jesus, he then becomes the instructor of their lives. And he directs them. I mean, understand, when you don't have to tell someone and preach to them, don't do this, don't do this, if they're really saved. You know why? The Holy Spirit lets them know that. When you truly, okay, let's use an example. Amanda comes up this morning and gets saved. Gives her heart to Jesus, okay? Born again. She cries. She even testifies, you know, I found Jesus this morning. Hallelujah, I found Jesus. Then she goes out tomorrow night, hits the bar. Line them up, bartender. What you drinking for? Because I found Jesus. I'm celebrating. Hey, cowboy. Can I go home with you? Why? I'm celebrating Jesus. I mean, really? Do we need to tell someone? Now, look now. You're saved, so you know, don't be going out and, you know, picking up strange men, Amanda. And now that you know Jesus, you shouldn't probably really be going out getting drunk. And since you know Jesus, you probably shouldn't use his name in vain, because that kind of sets it a little bit. And since you're saved now, you know, you shouldn't be using those curse words and beating on your kid. I'm just telling you that you're saved. You know what happens when Jesus really saves someone? He changes their nature. A man is not going to want to pick up, hopefully, no strange cowboy. She's not going to want to go and get slammed because her nature's been changed. That's what, see, grace is more than a word that we use, saved by grace. Grace is an active power in our lives that strengthens us to do the will of God. That's enough. Church, grace is enough. Period. All right, 1 Corinthians 1:15-1. Let's read through this. This is Paul speaking. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and where you stand. He's preached the gospel, stand in it. By which you are saved. They're saved through the gospel that Paul preached. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and then he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present, but some are fallen asleep. Some have died that have seen Jesus. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Stop right there a minute, Jeremy. Here he's saying Jesus was seen by the apostles, by the 12, by then 500, by then some more. He was seen. You're talking about an eyewitness. There was plenty of eyewitnesses that saw Jesus raised from the dead. He walked. And these same people saw him alive, saw him dead. He was dead. They saw him on the cross, dead. Took him off the cross, wrapped him up in that burial clothes, and put him behind in a cave and put the rock behind it. He was dead. Jesus, this Messiah. And I'm sure they talked about it. He's no different than anybody else. He died too. There he is, wrapped up in a tomb, gone. He said he's the Messiah. He's not a Messiah. There he is, dead. If he stayed dead, nothing would have changed. But the Bible says the third day he rose. God raised him up from the dead. And he came out of that tomb. And it wasn't a sneaky thing. It wasn't a fable. It wasn't just seen of one or two people that knew him, his posse. He made sure everybody possibly around could see, here I am. I want this to go down in history that I rose, that I walked, that I touched you, that you seen me. See the nails, see the whips, see the scars, see it all. The same Jesus you saw dead, you now see alive. I'm the same one. I am your Messiah. And because I rose, you are now righteous in me forever. Forever. Church, we're righteous forever. We have to get past that our righteousness is attached to what we do. Our righteousness is attached to who we are. Man's a big difference. I love my children no matter what they do. They love Charles. Done a lot of things he shouldn't have done. He's paying the price for that. But you know what? They don't love him any less because of what he's done. They love him because of who he is. He's their seed. They get mad at him, frustrated with him, want to knock him upside the head. Sure, cause some stress, cause problems, but the love never changed, ever. Though what one time I guarantee his grandparents says, I love you less because you're a troublemaker. I don't love you as much as I used to love you when you were cute and little and didn't cause no issues. I don't love you as much. No, they never said that. That's why they gave their life to him. They poured out resources to him. They've lost years over him. Because they love him. Charles' love by his grandparents has nothing to do with what he does. They love him. If we can get out of this performance thing and recognize the power of what Jesus did. God, my holiness and my righteousness is not in me keeping all this stuff. It's not in me not doing this and doing that. It's in what you did once. And I can rest in that you completely paid the price. I am debt free forever because of grace. Debt free. We can't earn it, church. We serve God. We love God. We obey God. We do what he says, but not because of fear and not because we have to and not because somebody tells you to. It's because our nature has truly been changed. I mean, how many of you remember how you were before Jesus? Doc, did you change after you found Jesus? Did you change? You was a different person, wasn't you? Completely different. You stopped doing those things you used to do, didn't you? Why'd you stop? Why'd you keep on partying, drinking, fornicating, whatever? Why'd you stop? Because he loved God. When you love God, you serve him. You notice what Doc said. Man, I realized that he didn't stop because he was afraid of God. He loved God. And I know we fear God, of course. But notice Doc didn't say, because I didn't want to go to hell. Because I scared. First thing, because I love God. See, the Bible says it's the love of God that draws man to repentance. Not the hate. It's the love of God that draws men. And how many times do we get in the way of the cross? Because they see our lives. They see us turn somebody away. They see us treat somebody ugly. They see us talking about people. That should never happen. We are lights of God. We should not be talking about people and judging them. We should be loving them. Love's what draws. Just keep loving them. I'm going to tell you something. As Chuck sung that song, it's time to stop running. When you should just love someone, just unconditionally love them. Just love them. No matter what they do, love them. No matter what they say, love them. No matter how bad they treat you, love them. There's going to be a point they stop running. Because I can't outrun your love. Every time I run, your love chases me down and finds me. Every time I try to get away, there's your love. Every time I try to move, there's your love. You want to run somebody off? Start hating them. That don't take long at all. Start being mean to them, saying nasty things to them, giving them dirty glances, not speaking to them. That'll run them off. Self-righteousness has been one of the main destructions, I think, of the religious churches throughout history. Self-righteousness. Understand there is no self-righteousness. There is nothing in our flesh that wants to do good. How many times have you failed a diet? I mean, you were determined, boy. I'm starting January 1. I'm losing 30 pounds. I'm not stopping dieting until I lose it. January 3rd, you're off the wagon. It happens that quick sometimes, don't it? And we make excuses. Well, I've had a bad day. I got a headache. My husband being a jerk. My kids are being rebellious. I had 3 bills come in the mail. I mean, we can justify we want to pig out. We fail, church. There's nothing that we can hang on to. We got folks say, I'll be in church, and I'm committed. And they're committed for 2.5 months. Then they're out. There is no self-righteousness. Our righteousness is in Christ. It's in there over and over and over throughout the Word of God. We are righteous in Christ. The Bible says, him that knew no sin became sin that we could become the righteousness of God. Our righteousness is not attached to what we do. It's attached to who we are. I'm a child of God. Do I mess up? Sure I do. But I'm still a child of God. I'm going to fail, but I'm still a child of God. And we know that God's, here's the thing. When we realize God's not going to cast us out, he's going to keep us. Boy, that gives us a lot of security. Because we're used to people who are casting us out. We're used to people forsaking us and leaving us and abandoning us. We're used to that. We're used to people kicking us when we're down and turning their backs and walking away. We're used to friends leaving us that say they're our friends. And then when something changes or whatever, they're not our friends no more. We lose them. The ones that say, I'm with you, and, oh, I love you, and then they're doing this in your back, you know, when you're not looking. We all have those. I have those. My back hurts every day. We have those. You know what? Not in Christ we don't. He's not going to throw us away. He's going to keep us. Paul says, I am persuaded. I'm convinced. I'm sure he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. What are you talking about? His soul. I give you my soul, Jesus. You're able to keep it. No matter where I go, what I do, the road I travel, you're able to keep it. And he does. Go to the next verse. For I am the least of the apostles, and I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I love how he words this. I mean, it's like something off Dr. Seuss. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Green eggs and ham. I am what I am. You know what he's saying? I am who I am, only because of the grace of God. Think of Paul's life. We know the story of Paul, Saul of Tarsus. He was mean and nasty and hateful. Killed Christians, stoned Christians, was arresting Christians. He was a bad cop. Not a good one like Larry. He's a bad cop. I'm going to arrest you just for knowing Jesus. If you confess Jesus, you're going to jail. He had papers. He was marching along. I bet he felt big and bad. I'm going to show them, oh, Christ-following folks, who's in charge. The light from heaven shined down, knocked him on his knees, and he heard God calling his name. Man, Paul had something to prove. God, I'm serving you. Talking about Doc saying he loved him. You don't think Paul loved God? Man, I was destroying your seed, and you saved me? Are you kidding me, God? I am what I am by the grace you bestowed upon me. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. Wasn't me that labored, but the grace of God which was in me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how some say among you there is no resurrection of the dead. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then all of our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ, this is the key verse right here. If Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. That's the centerpiece of the gospel. He said, if Christ didn't rise, we're still lost. He was another man, a good man, but died in vain. If we can't receive and believe that God raised Christ from the dead, then our faith is in vain. You know what the gospel is? The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. The death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then it goes, verse 17 also, this is a great key verse about grace as well. That's a grace verse. You know what this is telling me? That I'm only saved because of my faith in the resurrected Savior. That's what it's saying. That I'm only saved. Because look at this. If Christ be not raised, I'm in my sins. So let's transpose that, make it opposite. That means if Christ is raised, I'm not in my sins. It's a verse of faith, a grace, complete grace. Nothing to do with what James Lewis does. Nothing to do with my behavior. Nothing to do with how I act. None of that's attached to my salvation. My faith has been placed that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that paid the price for my sin and was raised for my righteousness. It's a two-folded thing. He died for our sin, and he was raised for our righteousness. I'm right standing with God because of what he did, not because of what I've done. It's a dangerous doctrine to teach that, and we're deceiving many people, including ourselves, to think that our good works and our moral behavior. I mean, church, we want to really start dissecting morality. What's moral to me may be not moral to Ed. What's moral to Ed may not be moral to me. Do you realize when we spread gossip and we talk about people, that's just as damaging as getting slammed drunk or fornicating? I mean, that's just dangerous. That's immoral. When we're disrespecting our parents as Christians, we talk back to them, we yell at them, we fuss at them. We're disrespectful to him. That's immoral. So does God go over because you don't do the big sins? Fornicating, adultery, drunkenness, taking God's name in vain. You know, some of the big sins, we call big sins here in our world. But you're disrespecting your parents. You're talking about people. Are we keeping all of God's word? Of course we're not. The Bible says if we don't keep all the law, we broke all the law. If we don't keep it all, we're lawbreakers. If I get a speeding ticket going after, if I go out after church, go down the road and get a speeding ticket, okay? It's the only ticket I've ever had in my whole life. It's the only time I've ever been charged by an officer for breaking the law. Am I a lawbreaker? Yeah. But I've only done a speeding ticket. I'm a lawbreaker. So I've broken the law. Maybe it's only one law, but it is the law. We can't keep all the law. Covetousness and you know, all that, we don't keep it. And so for some of us that think, because we're, here's what I'm trying to say. Some of you think you live righter than you really are. That's as plain as I can put it. You think you're living right. But are you? Would you base your whole soul to stand before God and say, God, I've lived right enough to go to heaven? I wouldn't. In fact, what I would do, if God called me up, I'd just say, I know. I'll just go the other way. I know the down button's getting ready to happen. Because I've not placed my faith in what he's done. Imagine this. We stand before God. We'll take Amanda again. She stands before God, just like the rich man, the ruler did. And God says, Amanda, have you lived pretty good on earth? Yes, Father, I have. Tell me what you've not done wrong. Well, God, I've not committed adultery my whole life. I've not fornicated. I've only been with one person. That was my married person. I've never said a cuss word, God. I've never watched a rated R movie, God. I've lost all of you by now. I mean, all of you. including me, right? I've lost all of you. Lord, I've never stolen anything in my life. I've never told a lie, God. Never, ever told a lie. What, Doc? Are you a liar? Oh, yeah. So we're standing there, and she names all these things off. God says, okay, so you've not done adultery, not lied, never drank alcohol, God, never smoked any tobacco products, I've never gambled, I've never bought a lottery ticket, God, I've not done none of those things, man. I'm clean, Lord. Then God says, have you ever talked bad about someone? Have you ever listened to something bad from someone? Have you ever, ever disrespected your parents? Have you ever? And see, as we get going, I mean, there's going to be something he can bring against us, right? Something. Did you ever lust after anybody? Well, God, there was that one cowboy. But you know what? I repented pretty hard right after that. That I lusted again. And then I repented again. I mean, church, we're not that moral. Our flesh wants to do what's wrong. There's a battle going on. Paul talks about that. There's a war. There's a war. Our flesh don't want. I mean, there's some of us, we couldn't keep our mouths closed if it was bobby wired. Is that right? Bobby wire? What's that, prison wire? Bob wire. I said bobby wire. You tell I'm not a felon. Bob wire. If it was closed, we'd find a way to say something. Remember that movie we watched with Kurt Cameron? Was it the marriage one? Fireproof. Where she's having a little minor fling with that doctor. Well, I mean, you know, she's talking to him. That hadn't done anything. She's talking to him and stuff. I know where Melly stands on that. I can't talk to more women in the church. Sorry. Okay. I'm going to be shaking Carrie's hand. You having a fling? Okay, gotcha. So he's talking to this doctor. Remember, and remember how the little nurses, how they're in that little circle talking? Or the scene I love is when she hears him at the door, when Kurt Cameron goes in and tells him peep his mind. Remember that nurse? Man, we got a story. We can't wait to tell it. I mean, we just can't wait to tell it. We love running that lip. And what does the Bible say in James about our tongue? It's a deadly poison. You know, it says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. So, church, we can't stand on our own righteousness no matter how good we think we've lived. We've not lived that good. We've not lived that good. I mean, have we always gave to God what he says in the Word to give, or our money? That lost a lot of us, right, through the years. That's part of the law. But, Pastor, the Lord is my shepherd. Yes. And it says, bring your tithes to storehouse. But the Lord is my shepherd. Love how we can change that around to fit our own thing. Our righteousness is in him. Next verse. Then also, it goes on to say that our faith in vain, we're in our sins. Then they which are fallen asleep, that means those that have already died in Christ, they're perished. If Christ hadn't been resurrected, Paul saying the ones that already died, they're gone. They're perished. They're lost. But thank God we're not. In this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. Now, I've heard that verse my whole life. Never really knew what it meant, honestly. I mean, I mean, sort of. Well, but let's talk about this verse. Paul is saying, if you only knew Jesus in the sense of who he was on the earth, what have we gained? I want to know the resurrected Jesus, not just the crucified Jesus. That's what he's saying. He's saying, if I only know the crucified Jesus without the resurrected Jesus, I'm miserable because there's nothing after that for me. If we only believe Jesus died but didn't raise from the dead, then there's nothing left for us after this earth. See, our God is alive, and that's why it is creating so much stir in the world. This is so much stir. People are being persecuted. Pakistan, you may have heard on Pakistan, bomber went in to a Christian church in Pakistan, one of the few Christian churches, kills, like last kind of heard, about 80 people, killed them just because they're Christians, just because they're Christians. Why does the Christian faith, why does the cross invokes and stir so much? Because that's the only thing that has any power to change. I think it's sad when there are churches getting away from that, not teaching the cross anymore, not teaching it. People making comments, I want my folks to be comfortable and relaxed. Man, how can we say that? We're charged with a commission as ministers of God to preach the gospel. And the gospel is Jesus alone, dead and raised, and we're saved. Through that one atonement, we're saved. The Bible says in Hebrews that there was a once and all sacrifice for the redemption of man. That he was the last sacrifice needed. No more lambs on the altar. No more goats. No more cows slaughtered. No more pleading and begging the blood of Jesus. No more begging God to forgive them. Jesus handled it. It's finished. It's done. He died. He rose. He's alive forever. And so are we that are put our faith in his death and resurrection. We are alive in Christ. Because he tasted death for all of us. Don't be deceived by messages that don't teach Jesus' death and resurrection. That's the only way into salvation. Church, the world needs to hear this good news and quit living in fear, thinking that their own works can damn them or save them. Jesus took care of that for us. Can you imagine? Me and Randy were talking before service. He brought up a good point. He goes, you know, outside the tomb, those soldiers that were guarding the tomb, remember the Bible says that they fell out when he came out. They passed out. They fell on the ground at the presence of God. And he said, you never hear any more about those certain guards. He said, I wonder what happened to them. Did they believe and accept, or did they deny and reject? What would we do? Imagine being there that day when you know he was dead, and then to see him come out alive. Whew. Without the resurrection, there will be no hope for us in the next life. But because he rose, we rise too. And that's why those that pass away now, I'm talking about now, if you were to leave the earth today, you would not be just laying there dead, unconscious, unaware of what's going on. You wouldn't be like an animal on the ground. You wouldn't be waiting on anything, church. When we leave this earth, we pass in immediately into his presence. Matthew 27, I believe it is, whenever Jesus, you remember, was crucified, the Bible says the graves were open and many came out of the graves. Why did they come out of the graves? To go with him. To enter. They went out of that state of waiting, and the blood was shed. And when they came out of the grave, they went from waiting to going. The deal with us is there is no waiting for us. There's no waiting room. There's no lapse of time. We see the face of God immediately when our breath ends. We enter and are ushered into his presence right then. Right then. Don't anybody tell you that Christians are out there laying just waiting on something. No, they're not. They enter in immediately the presence of God. Because he rose. And because he rose, we rise too. We rise out of our mortal shell into his eternal glory. We rise. Even the kids understand that. Praise the Lord. That little baby's so excited. Yay, I want to live forever. Yay! I got other verses, is that it? That's it. In this life only. Aren't you glad that we have a better life coming than what we have now? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Hey, can y'all come up here and I'm going to open up the altar this morning before we close out. I want them just to sing a little something or play a little something. And I want to open the altar up to this morning. This is a very specific altar call this morning. A lot of times I make it very general. I know people have needs. I mean, you can always come to the altar for whatever, but I really want to make a specific call this morning. For those of you who have not placed all of your faith, all of your trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ unto salvation. You've heard the word this morning. We've read the word. We read what Paul said. We read what the Bible says. That he tasted death for you. And I want to open the altar up for anyone that has not placed all of their faith in him for their salvation. And you want to respond today by walking up front and standing here with me. And just signifying, I want Jesus to be my Savior. I'm placing all of my faith in him this morning. I'm tired of running, as they sung the song. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of doing it my way. I'm tired of worrying about it. I'm tired of being afraid. I'm tired of trying to figure out, am I saved or am I lost? I really don't know. I'm just so confused. We see what the Word says. We are saved because of Jesus. Because He rose, we no longer have to be in our sin. Not because of what we do. Would y'all bow your heads with me for a minute? And I want to open the altar up. If God is dealing with you this morning, if God is speaking to your heart, and you want to come up here and stand, I want to place all of my faith in Jesus Christ. All my faith. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of trying to do it my way. I'm tired of trying to figure it out whenever God's already figured it out for me. He's done it. He's done the work. I just want to rest. I want to rest in what He's done for me. If that is you this morning, please walk up here and stand as a public witness that you want to declare Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. If that is you, just continue to pray if you would. Let the Holy Spirit deal with whoever it's going to deal with this morning. If that is you, the altar is open to say, I want all my faith placed in Jesus. I want all my faith placed in Him. Hallelujah.
Thought that number one would always be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without
Thank
you holding
Jesus.
My hand. I thought that I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself
Thank you, Lord.
As a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
There's plenty of room at this altar, church. Plenty of room. God is speaking
Lord,
to you.
I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high, the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, I learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Thank you, Jesus.
I think that I'll make Jesus my all in all. When I'm in trouble, on His name I'll call. If I don't trust in Him, I'd be less than a man. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding
my
hand.
Is there anyone else
that
wants to come up? I'm going to pray for these up here now. If anyone wants to join
Lord,
us,
I can't
come.
Even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high, the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, I learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
I want y'all up here, if you would. I want y'all three to join hands. Would y'all join hands up here? Lord, I pray right now your grace over these three that stand before you. They stand here before a holy God, understanding that you alone, only you, saves their soul and secures their future. Let your Holy Spirit pour into them Feel them today. Touch and change what needs to be changed. That they leave here with no more fear, no more worry, but are secure that you are Lord of their lives. You are Lord God Almighty. There is no other. And that by your death and resurrection, they are forever free in their lives. In the name of Jesus, I declare this grace of your word upon their lives. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, precious Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.